Open your Bibles to the book of Joel. We go through different books of the Bible so that people can understand what the Word of God means in context. In this particular time in the book of Joel, in the Old Testament, Israel was divided and the land of Judah was down south. And the people were there just going to church like nobody's business, like everybody's, you know, hey, this is what we do. This is, we're serving the Lord. We're doing our thing. But they were doing it almost like that last song. They were doing it almost like robotic. Do you know what I mean? Listen, do you just show up here just to plop down? Can I tell you something? You are missing the whole thing. You are missing everything. God is calling you to be equipped, and he's calling you to be equipped so that you can serve him better. And listen, not just Chris, so that you can come up here and play the keyboard. He's calling you, Natalie, not just so you can teach women's group. He's calling you to come here and to bless other people who are sitting down and you don't know. He's calling you to be a blessing. Maybe even to be a pastor or a preacher. He's calling you. We have to respond to that call. The women are going through a great Bible study. Elijah by Priscilla Shear, Tony Evans' daughter. Man, it's phenomenal. Peggy was telling me how wonderful, or maybe Peggy through Lester, I can't remember now. But anyway, how wonderful it was, how amazing it was. And somebody else on the phone who's watching us online was saying, oh my goodness, it's so great. But, and again, this is not a guilt thing, but if you're not taking the step, and then you're not learning and growing the way God wants you to grow. And listen, God still loves you just as much. He loves you just as much. But you know what? You're not fulfilling what he wants you to do and who he wants you to be. So he wants you to grow. This is not a guilt thing. You understand? This is a blessing thing. The king of the universe wants to use you in a way that brings glory to his name for all of eternity. Wow. That should blow you away. It blows me away. Now, in this time, what was happening is God sent these plagues were upon the land, God's people, and they didn't know what was going on. Locusts had come in, swarmed at billions of them, and ate everything. The land, I mean, the trees, the seeds, everything. There was just nothing left for them. Nothing. And they were like, what's up? We're still going to church. We're still doing our things. What's up? I got a Bible at home. Yeah, I never read it, but it's there. Oh. Listen. And what happened was Prophet Joel came along and he's saying, yeah, I just want to let you know why all this is happening. It's because you're not right with the Lord. Your lips honor me, but your hearts are far from me. You're not trying to bless and help and encourage one another. Here, you're coming in, it's all, give it to me, and then I go on my way. That's not why God wants to feed you and equip you and grow you and help you. He's doing that so that you can then give it to someone else. Amen? Capiche? Okay, that's not in the Bible. That's more the Italian part of me. Okay. Anyway, so this is what's happened. They're in the middle. Anyway, so the section that we've started is now he's talking about the last days. You know, he's kind of going, you know, all the way forward. The judgment that you're going through like this, it's going to be even worse in the last days. And I'm going to read a few parts. We talked a lot about the Holy Spirit, but I'm just going to read in Joel in the Old Testament. And if you don't have a Bible, there should be one on the seat in front of you. And if you don't have one, raise your hand. Where's Pastor Gary? Pastor Gary, just raise your hand and Pastor Gary will bring you a Bible. But this is in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 to 32. And I'm just going to read it and then we're going to go through it. And this is our third week in one verse. Yes, Joel chapter 2, verses 28 to 32, and we're finishing it today. Yes. It's just that it's so rich. This vein goes on and on, this deep mind. All right, here we go. We're going to read it. This is the day of the Lord. And afterward, you remember that Hebrew word, aker, it means behind part, hinder part, last part. And there are in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. We're going to talk about that today. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Verse 30 says, I will show wonders as it continues on, as it progresses to the very, very end. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood, fire, billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Great for those who have been saved and know him and walk with him. Terrible for those who have rebelled against him and chosen to ignore him. It says in the last verse 32, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Hallelujah. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls. So last week, we spoke about what the Holy Spirit did. And we went through 18 things in detail about what the Holy Spirit does in our lives, the person of the Holy Spirit. And then I read an article, it was on the headlines and a Christian news source, and somebody did a teaching just like mine. In fact, when I first saw it and read through the article, I thought, oh my goodness, this guy has been listening to my teachings. And then I was like, wait a minute, no, he's a big theologian, you know, world renowned. No, he hasn't. He's just read the Bible. And so, but he thought he came up with one more than I did. And I was like, oh, it says one of the things the Holy Spirit does, and there's multiple parts of this, 18 things. So there's 19. I added one thing. The Holy Spirit also can commission us and send us. Like, he gives us a call. I'm a pastor, not because I didn't have anything better to do, because he called me to do it. So he also calls us and commissions us, and I always give you scripture with it, because the Word and the Spirit always go hand in hand together. Acts chapter 13, verse 4 says, so Barnabas and Paul were sent out by the Holy Spirit. They went down to the seaport of Seleucia and then sailed for the islands of Cyprus, preaching the word of God wherever they went. So the Holy Spirit sent them out, commissioned them, however you want to put it, and there you go. We talked last week about prophecy, a lot about prophecy. Prophecy is God speaking to man. We talked about the definition of that, what it is, in lots of detail. We don't have time to go over it today because I'll never get through this four verses, or maybe this one verse. We talked about how prophecy is generally encouraging, but also exhortive or warning in nature. And we talked about the gift of prophecy should be desired by all believers. It says, eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. Don't be afraid of them. It says, especially the gift of prophecy. It says the gift of prophecy builds up the church body in 1 Corinthians 4:14. And then it says prophecy should be taken seriously, but weighed and tested. Always tested against the word of God, because there's a lot of people who are well-intentioned, but they are so wrong. They don't know what they're talking about these days. It scares the snot out of me. And people don't know the difference. So you have to know the word of God to be able to discern if they're right or wrong. So we talked about how it's even on men or women. And we talked about in Acts chapter 21, 8 and 9 about the evangelist Philip, who had four daughters with the gift of prophecy. Okay, so here's the question now. And I'm going to ask you, I'm going to make it a little weird for you. So you're just going to have to stand up for just a second if you want. The question is, who here really wants to grow in knowing the Lord? Listen, I'm going to ask you in just a second to stand, because there's a reason for that. Because some people, I get it, we just come, and you know what, if that's you, you're still here. If you're not, I don't really want to grow. I'm just here because my husband made me, my wife made me, my kid, you know, whatever it is. But I'm going to ask you, Stan, who here really wants to grow in the Lord? If that's you, I'm going to ask you to stand up right now, just for a second. Who here really wants to grow in the Lord? Okay, all right. Hallelujah. Okay, all right. Then you can sit. Now, here's the next question that I really want you to think about, because I did look, okay? So here's the question for you. What are you going to do differently? Oh, Pastor, I want to go. I want to do whatever God wants me to do. Anything. I'll do anything. Hey, why don't you come to the men's Bible study? Oh, I can't really do that, because that's, I got Scrubs. I watched that on, you know. Pastor, I so want to join this girl's Bible study. I'll do whatever it takes. I know it's going to be good. Oh, you know what, though? Work is just such a drag on Tuesdays. Just can't do it. Pastor, I know you guys are handing out all these books, but, you know, reading's just, oh, it's just too tough for me. Oh, I can read other stuff for other reasons, but on the internet or what? But you know what? I just can't do that. You see what I'm saying? What? Some of you are doing something different right now. You come in this church. I want to learn. I want to learn the Word of God. Listen, wonderful. Great step. But here's the thing. I guess the point I'm trying to make to you, we'll supply you with teachings on audio, verse by verse through the Bible. We've got so much stuff. We are just like chomping at the bit. Have you ever seen the racers? You know how they get in that ready, set position? I might not be able to get back up again, but you know how they do that? You know what I'm saying? They ready, set, go. That's us here. We're like, oh my gosh, how can we equip you? Let me give you a Bible study. We got so much, but you have to want it. Maybe you can go on a walk, listen for teachers. We've got good teachers for you to listen to. Not, hey, give me money, teachers. We've got good teachers that want to teach you the Word of God in context. Yes, and you are here and you are speaking, and we do allow that. So
many of those books that you give out are also through the library on audio.
Absolutely.
I don't have time to read, but while I'm working, I'm listening.
Awesome. Through the library, free. Yes, good call. Yeah, thank you for saying that. So here's the thing. Look, Albert Einstein said something that is funny, but it's true. Listen, insanity is doing the same thing over again and again and expecting different results. Listen, you could have a full-on heart for Jesus, but if you don't put in any work or any effort, study to show thyself approved, the Bible says, a workman who does not need ashamed, who rightly handles the word of God. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Not that you work for your salvation, but you work it out. You have to do some. Come on, you go to work. You do hard things in other areas. How much more should we for the Lord? Yeah, I'd love to serve. Oh, the barbecue would be wonderful. Oh, I don't want to serve there. You'll grow from all these things. Listen, and here's the other thing. Okay, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Holy Spirit is the source of them all, okay, right? And it says in the Bible that the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is given for the common good. So when you get saved, when you give your life over to Jesus Christ, something supernatural comes. His Holy Spirit comes and lives inside you and helps you change from the inside out, not from the outside in. And then when the Holy Spirit activates, gives us these gifts, it almost like he activates them. I don't know a good way to say it. It's like, but we need to be desiring. Have you asked him for some of this? And I don't know a good illustration so that somebody could poke holes in this and yell at me or something like this. Okay. But when you get saved, it's not like I get part of the Holy Spirit and then I get more gifts later. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, right? Now, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good, not just so that I could have the Darren Shuttlebauer Evangelistic Association, whatever, or the Pastor Gary prophetic, ministry, or the, you know what I'm saying? It's for the common good. It's for everybody. But it's for when the manifestation, we're to eagerly desire those gifts and ask. And it's almost like, okay, so I've always considered myself, my wife is going to make a joke about this, but I've always considered myself pretty cool. My wife would beg to disagree with that. But in my mind, I'm pretty cool. But, you know, now my smartphones, they keep updating and updating and updating and updating. I'll just be honest with you. Sometimes my smartphone makes me feel stupid. I get frustrated. I'm like, dude, what? And then sometimes, though, there's a feature in there that pops up, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. This is in here? This helps me so much. Oh, my goodness. I never knew this was here. It would have helped me for the last 2 years. Are you kidding me? And it's been on my phone the whole time. I just didn't search and look and know. The manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. That's like some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So listen, don't be scared because you've seen a lot of yucky stuff on this side. If you've heard the last 2 weeks of my teachings, you know, your Heavenly Father is good. So I want to give you a couple scripture verses. This is in James 1:17, okay? He gives good gifts. I made this up for you guys. To you, personally, from your what? Loving Heavenly Father. It says, every good and perfect gift comes from above. We're talking about all these gifts. And it says, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So we talked about eagerly desiring those greater gifts. So just ask him. Say, Lord, I want, you know, in your own time, in your own way, pray. Ask him. Say, I want whatever you have for me. How can I love you better? How can I serve you more? How can I be empowered? Whatever you want, activate it in me. Help me. I'm willing, Lord. Seek. Ask, right? Listen, and you don't, and if you're nervous about it, okay, because you've seen some yucky stuff over here or whatever, then just ask. Say, Lord, I only want what's from you. I don't want to be deceived by anything of the enemy. I only want your good and perfect gifts. Just pray that. And listen, here's the thing. Jesus said in Luke 11:11-13, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake instead. Hey, Ezekiel comes to me and he says, hey, Dad, do you have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? And I say, oh, sure, son. Here's a coral snake. Would never happen, right? Because I'm a good dad. He says, or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. He says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Capiche? So whether it's salvation, ask him. Whether it's you're eagerly desiring the greater gifts, like 1 Corinthians 14 says, Lord, help me desire. And then be satisfied with whatever he gives us. And we talked about last week, but his divine power, listen to this, is important, has given us everything. Theos dunamis, where we get our word dynamite, has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Listen, the biggest thing isn't that you can be able to do miracles or have a prophetic gift or have this or that and the other. Or, woo-hoo! The biggest thing is he wants to give you this power so that you can live a life of godliness. That's the biggest miracle. Because the world operates a totally different way than God wants you to operate. The biggest empowerment of the Holy Spirit is you, me, living a godly life in Jesus Christ. Not saying we're perfect, we don't stumble sometimes, but we are walking with the Lord, right? The world says, this is okay, that's okay, this is all right. And God says, it's not for you. Does that make sense? He's given it to you so that you can live a life of godliness. So that people can say, dang, what's up? You used to live like that, and now you live like this? And you can say, I know, man, it's the Lord. And it's always attached with his precious word, right? 2 Peter 1:4, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them, the Holy Spirit of God and the word of God go hand in hand, not separate. So that you may participate in the divine nature, theos dunamis, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. As you trust in the word of God, as you get it in you, in your heart, hide it in your heart so you won't sin against them, you are empowered to do so. Now, we are in verse 28 for the last 2 weeks, and we haven't even gotten out of it. So this is it. So it says, and afterwards I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. We talked about that last week. Your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions. That's why Gary dreams dreams and I see visions. No, I was just making a factual reference. No. And you know what? Maybe it means that literally, but I think what it's trying to say is, and this is an opinion, okay? This is an opinion. I think what he's trying to say is everybody, old, young, you get it? Not just like only old guys could have a dream from the Lord and only, you know, or whatever, only young guys could. So now listen, now when it talks about dreams and visions, there's a whole movement out there. It's called Protestant modernism. You guys probably don't care, but I'll just tell you it anyway. Or progressive churches, sometimes will do this. They try to take the miraculous out of the Bible. In other words, when Jesus fed the 5,000, you remember when he, with a few loaves and a few fish? He blessed it, and then there was miraculously enough, and there was 7 basketfuls left over, right? It was a miracle, right? What they try to say is, oh, what happened is the little kid brought the fish, and then everybody just started being so generous. They all just started donating fish, and then that's how God provided. And they kind of take anything miraculous or anything supernatural out of the Bible because now we have science, and we don't really need that anymore. So when we talk about dreams and visions like that, I throw that right in the trash because that's not what the Bible says. Okay? The Bible talks about dreams. Now, God can also speak to us that way. The word in Hebrew here, my poor Bible that's falling apart. When I pick it up, sometimes the pages sort of fall out. But my... the word in Hebrew for dreams is halam, halam. And that could mean that for, it means, just means to dream. And it means sometimes ordinary dreams or sometimes like prophetic dreams or whatever. And so I will say that most of the time when God speaks, when we dream, it's just our mind doing wacky stuff. Working out some subconscious stuff, okay? Most of the time, okay, man, I had this dream that I was like flying and then I hit a railroad and then then a monkey, whatever. Okay, or it's some bad pizza that you ate, okay? Most of the time, it's that, okay? But I don't want you to limit God because there are going to be times in your life where God might speak to you in a dream. Sometimes the enemy will be there whispering to you if you're under an attack, whispering, yes, affect that subconscious mind. But there's sometimes God will speak in a dream. And I want you to be aware of that. And that's biblical. And so, I've had only a few times in my life where the Lord has spoken to me through dreams that I've realized. And when I do that, what I do is, or when people come to me, he helps me usually to, do I say that? Don't say that. Okay. Hold on a second. Sorry about that. What you do, what I do, what we should do is if we get a dream that we believe is from the Lord, we should pray. First thing we should do is ask him, Lord, was that from you or is that a wacky dream? If it was from you, we ask for an interpretation. Pray. Ask the Lord or ask your friend who you trust in the Lord to pray with you for an interpretation that God would help you interpret that dream. Okay? But when you see dreams in the Bible, you see a lot of them. Listen, and here are just a few. In the Old Testament, and some of you guys take notes in your Bibles and some don't, so you note takers will be like, oh yeah, I didn't put this up on the screen yet. So in the Old Testament, you see dreams in Genesis 37, 5 through 11. You remember our guy Joseph? Remember the story of him? He had the dreams. He told all his brothers, man, I had this dream and we were harvesting sheaves of wheat and they all bowed, all of them, they all bowed down to me. And the brother's like, yeah, so we're all going to bow down to you? Oh, yeah, yeah. And I had another dream and the sun and the moon and 11 stars, all you brothers, and they all just bow down to me. And God was giving a prophetic dream when he was going to, anyway, it says they were so jealous, they all hate him. Even his dad rebuked him. But if you remember, God, in fact, they nicknamed him later on in Genesis chapter 37 in verses, 19 and 20. They nicknamed him the dreamer. When they threw him down in the well, they were so jealous of the dreamer, let's throw him. They sold him off into slavery. But also in Genesis chapter 40, verse 8. With the cupbearer. Remember that? With the cupbearer, the wine taster? Remember that when he was in prison, Joseph? Also in 41, verse 14 to 16. Pharaoh had a dream, and then they called him up. He interpreted it. He just said, I can't interpret this, but God can. And boom, told. And it was just an amazing thing. He was promoted to the second in the nation, saved all of God's people. You know the story. In 1 Samuel, same thing. There was a guy by the name of Saul. He was not doing right by the Lord. And God wasn't speaking to him. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 5 to 6, that the Lord was no longer speaking to Saul through dreams, through visions, through prophecy. And so that's when he went to the witch of Endor, right? And we got burned there. That's a story. If you guys don't know these stories, that's why I want to tell you. The Old Testament is so powerful, so cool. You want to get a picture of the Lord. But start of the New Testament. Also in 1 Kings, Solomon, you remember that? Chapter 3, verses 5 through 15. He was a new leader. He didn't know what to ask for, right? And so he asked, and then the Lord came to him in a dream and said, hey, what would you like? He said, what would, he's like, man, I'm a little kid. I don't know how to do this. I want discernment so I can rule your people and honor you. And he's like, because you've done that, I'm going to give you riches and honor in addition to that. And so you see all these things. Also, Daniel chapter 1:17 with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were going to, the Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he wanted his magicians and enchanters to tell him what it was and interpret it. They're like, you want us to tell you the dream too? Like, we can't do that. Nobody can do that about except God. And so he's like, okay, well, then I'm going to kill you all and turn your family's homes into rubble. And he was a brutal man. In charge of the world, he would have done it. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel prayed. And in a dream, God gave it to him. And he went and told them the dream and told them the interpretation of the dream. And that was when God raised them up. Also, you can read about it in chapter 2 of Daniel, chapter 4 of Daniel, chapter 7 of Daniel. You get the idea. But pastor, these are all Old Testament. And now we are in New Testament days. We don't do that. That hasn't happened anymore. I'm so glad you said that. Here we go. How about in the very, and I only have one slide of stuff because I would, we just can't, it just takes too long. How about God telling Joseph to take Mary as a wife? Remember that? And how did he do that? In a? That's right. His betrothed. Imagine if you were engaged and all of a sudden your wife-to-be, who's been really pure, so have you, and you're trying to honor God, and then all of a sudden she's preg. You'd be like, that would be a little sus. Don't you think? Yeah, it was God that did it. Yeah, I'm going to have to say no to the marriage and divorce you a little bit. You know what I'm saying? But God came and it spoke to him in a dream and said, after he considered this, he was considering divorcing her. And, you know, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. It was a messenger of the Lord from God and said, David, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Matthew 1:18-24. How about God telling the Magi not to trust Herod? They knew a Messiah had born, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They came to see him, right? And then they went to go see the king of the land, Herod. And Herod's like, so there's a king, another king other than me, huh? You know what? Why don't you tell me when you find him? Yeah, because I want to worship him too with a sword. You remember the story, pretty terrible. Anyway, what Herod ended up doing is slaughtering all the babies 2 years and under in the entire city, killing them. Imagine that, murdering every baby. Can you imagine? But it says, having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Matthew, this is in Matthew chapter 2, 1 to 12. How about God warning Joseph to go back to Egypt and to safe? Joseph's like, hey, Joe, Herod's going to be this brutal dictator man, try to kill you. It's straight from the pit. I want you out of there. So it says, this is in Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 18. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up. He said, take this child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. And last but not least, and I kind of squeezed it in there because I ran out of room, God also told Joseph to go back to Israel once Herod was dead in Matthew chapter 2, 19 to 23. And that's just in the first two chapters of the first book of the gospel. You get the idea? Okay, so it talks about dreams and visions in the Bible. So especially in the New Testament, when it talks about dreams It's God speaking to us. Dreams, obviously, is usually when you are asleep. Okay? God usually speaks to my wife more than dreams than me. But he's done it a few times. But he does it more with my wife. Is that the young one or is that the old one? I don't remember what. See, that's where the teasy part in me. That's where I get in trouble. I'm sure the dream one is a younger, right? Okay. Anyway, okay. Anywho. All right, so, but visions, when it talks about visions here in Joel chapter 2, it's a Hebrew word. And that Hebrew word is hazeyan, and it means a revelation from God or a divine communication. Now, sometimes in the Old Testament, dreams and visions can be a little intermixed, but in the New Testament, the Greek word for that means to see with sight. Like, in other words, a vision is usually when you're awake. Now, I've only had a couple of visions since I've been a believer in Jesus Christ, and sometimes they can be different. I'll just tell you. When I have a dream from the Lord, it really stands out. And then usually there's a message attached. When I have a vision, I'll just tell you, I didn't even know about spiritual warfare. I didn't know about any of this supernatural stuff. I grew up in the church. I was a religious person. I went to church, but I was never saved. Do you know what I'm saying? If I would have died, I would have been in hell. And so the Lord saved me. I'm so thankful. And I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And about a year or two ago. And anyway, one of the things was I was under this, I didn't know it, a spiritual attack, man. I was having breathing problems, having all this like weird demonic stuff happening. And I didn't know what was going on because I didn't believe in any of that stuff. So this was all new to me. And then I remember being at the beach with my wife, although she wasn't my wife at the time. 3 years we dated, so I'm trying to remember. Somewhere in that time period, if we were seeking the Lord together, I was sitting at night and we were sitting out at some lawn chairs. And all of a sudden, I'm just kind of describe it to you how I saw it. Okay, doesn't mean you'll see it the same way. All of a sudden, I looked up and I was perfectly, just so everybody knows, if you're an unbeliever, I'd be thinking, was he sober? Was he? Oh yeah, I was completely in my right. I don't know how to describe it exactly, but it was almost like, no. Leslie, if you wouldn't mind. It was almost like I was watching it. I don't know how to. Almost, I was watching it. This is my own. I'm trying to put it into like human words, like a movie screen that I could see through. Okay, like I wasn't like, you know, I'm like, oh my gosh. I was like, do you see this? And I was watching this demonic thing, this huge. I remember its eyes. I remember the nails, every little curvature, this thing was pushing this wall over on me. And I was like this on my knee being crushed. And because they did everything medical, they couldn't find anything the matter with me. And I'm like, oh my goodness, do you see this? And I'm describing it to her. And Lisa's like, nope. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like what is this? And then this demon thing was pushing and crushed, trying to crush me as best he can. And so I didn't know what was going on. And somebody's like, I went into church Sunday and I'm like, of course, I'm afraid to tell anybody. They'd be thinking, alrighty then. You're seeing what now? Okay, bye. And so I'm watching this. And when I went into church the next day and somebody, thank God, God put me together with this guy. I'd never talked to him before. He was a lawyer. And he's like, oh man. He's like, dude. He's like, didn't say dude. He said, that's spiritual. Have you ever heard? Do you know what I'm talking about? I'm like, I never even heard the word spiritual. What are you even talking about? And so now I have another acquaintance of mine, brother in the Lord, when he has a vision, when he's had a couple, it almost takes him from one spot to the next. And God gives him that. Usually if there's a message in it. And then once I knew that this was happening, I knew how to pray, found out more about spiritual warfare, was able to fight back and have victory. And so, But I want you to know, again, biblically, all right? So give me just 2 minutes. I don't even want to ask how long of a day. I'm not going to ask. When it comes to visions, all right? Because you also see that in the Bible. You do. In Genesis, just for those of you who want, you know, Genesis 15:1, when Abraham had a vision and he was childless, and God gave him a vision saying that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky. Do you remember that? That was a vision, it says. You can look it up for yourself. Make sure I'm telling you the truth. And God gave him that vision, and God brought that to pass. Also in Ezekiel chapter 1, the wheel within the wheel, or Daniel chapter 1:17, when Daniel had a vision and interpreted that, and Zechariah 1:8. But also in the New Testament, well, Darren, Pastor D, when you're talking about dreams, this isn't after Jesus died in the resurrection, the supernatural stuff. So we don't see that. Where's that after Jesus died and rose again? Do you see anything there? I'm so glad you asked me. When we talk about visions, it's a divine revelation from the Lord, okay? If he does that, and he may never do that, and that's okay. However he wants to communicate to you, okay? But it'll never contradict his word. Never, ever, ever. If you get any sort of dream that God said it was okay for me to blank, and it's against God's word, I can tell you that is a demonic spirit. You don't listen to that at all. Okay, so here we go. Visions. There's a guy by the name of Ananias in Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 16, and he said, there's a guy by the name of Saul of Tarsus. He was putting Christians in prison, torturing them, holding their coats while they were getting killed. And he was out hunting Christians, ordered from the Pharisees to go throw them in jail. And God appeared to a believer, Ananias, and said, hey, Annie. I don't know if he said Annie. He said, I want you to go. He told him even the straight. He went to the street. He said, I want you to go down to Straight Street. And I want you to buy, there's a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus there. And I've already given him a vision. And he's expecting to see you, Ananias, come to him. And he's my chosen vessel to take the word of God to all the Gentiles. And Ananias is like, scuse. God, perhaps you're not aware. Saul Tarsus is the guy, he kills people. He does lots of bad stuff to your people. I don't think you want me to go there. And he's like, go. And so he did. And that says, in Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him to him in a vision. Ananias, yes, the Lord answered. And there you have it. Thanks. Here's another one. God telling Cornelius, he was a Roman centurion, okay, in the Roman army. I think he was in the Italian regiment, historically speaking. He commanded 100 men, but he was a God-fearing man, him and his family. They loved the Lord, but he was a Gentile. And it says that one day, about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision, and he distinctly saw an angel of God who came and said to him, Cornelius, and he told him to go get Peter and bring him back. And he went and did that. Okay? How about in Acts chapter 10, 9 through 17? It says, the next day, while Peter was up on the roof, they had little rooftops, and that was like their deck area, and he had a vision, this giant food, all this food on sheets came down from heaven 3 times, and he's like, hey, eat whatever you want. And he's like, Lord, I can't do that. I'm kosher. I'm a Jew. I can't eat that Gentile stuff. And he's like, don't call anything that I've said is clean, unclean. And then as he was doing that, there was a knock at the door. And it was Cornelius's men saying, yeah, God sent me in a vision. I know a Jew would never come to a Gentile's house, but that's what he did. He sent me. And so Peter's like, oh, the vision, yeah, I'm a coming. And if you know this rest of the thing, you know he got saved. Paul's vision of a man in Macedonia, Acts chapter 16, 9 through 10, Paul is preaching. It says the Holy Spirit was stopping him from going into the Asian area from preaching the word of God. And it says, during the night, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. Immediately they got up, they went and preached, and that's where God sent them. Or Paul's vision in Corinth, not to be afraid. I can't remember if he was in prison or he was just scared. But Paul is normally, I mean, he's been beaten, whipped, whatever. One night he was just a little overwhelmed. And Paul and God went, and it says, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. And it said, don't be afraid. Keep on speaking. Don't be silent. Acts 18:19. Does that make sense? So there are dreams and visions. Allow God to speak to you however he wants, but always, always lines up with his word. And if you're unsure, then you ask somebody who you trust in the Lord that knows the word of God. All right. Pastor Gary, how long have I been speaking?
47 minutes.
Ah! You sure?
Sure.
Well, on the positive side, we're through that verse. He says in verse 29 in Joel chapter 2, even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Oh my goodness, now the good Jewish men of the Old Testament would have been like, what? The women? Even in Jesus' day, do you know what? Those Pharisees and Sadducees, one of their prayers was, oh, Lord, I thank God that you didn't make me a woman. It was a little boys' club. And so even Jesus eating with women, teaching women, sitting with women, having them have positions, and that blew people away. But he's saying that in those days, men and women, and listen, it's for everybody. 1 Corinthians 12:13-14 says, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body through, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit, when he pours out his Holy Spirit, which he has, we were all baptized into one body. Jews, Greeks, slave, free, whatever nationality, whatever you are, doesn't matter. And all were made to drink of one spirit, and that's the Holy Spirit. Pastor, that doesn't say male and female, though. Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, and yes, there are just two genders, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. At the foot of the cross, we are completely even. Does that make sense? It goes on to say in the book of Joel, I heard a sigh, honey. Was that like I'm taking too long? All right. Would you tell me once? No. It says, he goes, I will show, then as it continues on to the very, very end, and this is, you know, what you're seeing is a partial fulfillment now. He's like, I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke, talking about the last days as it gets to the very, very end, and we're getting so, so close. And when Jesus comes back this time, it's not going to be a roses and rainbows thing. It's going to be a judgment thing. And listen, there's nobody I'm going to scare into heaven. However, I would like to scare the hell out of you.
Amen.
Literally.
Yes.
Because a time is coming. I was sitting with a guy. I think I'm older and mature in the Lord because I've experienced a lot. But this guy had walked with the Lord more like Lester and Peggy. He was a Christian for many, many years. I'm trying to even think, about 20 more years than me. And it was, he was saying, maybe even 30. And he said the same thing I did. I haven't seen him, talked to him in a bit like that. And he's saying to me, I have never seen it like this ever in my entire life as a Christian, ever. He's like, you have to know, right? You're telling anybody who'll listen, right? You're in the last days. It's getting darker. They're calling good, evil, even good. I've never, ever seen it like this. He's like, I'm watching Christians. They're living however way they want. And they're not honoring the Lord. Our goal isn't to honor the Lord. Not that we don't make mistakes. They're just living how we want. Hell no. Because that's what it's from. Don't you dare believe that. God wants you to honor him. And he empowers you with his Holy Spirit. The best gift he could ever give you. The best. So that you can do that. He's stronger than your flesh. He's stronger than your past. He's stronger than all the baggage you brought in. Right? Listen. But when it comes, it's not going to be good. Obadiah 1:15. Oh, I forgot to stretch that out. It says, the day of the Lord is near for all nations. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your deeds will return to you upon your own head. You want to rebel and ignore the Lord? It's going to land on your own head. Oh, dude. Malachi 3:2 in the New King James Version. But who can endure the day of the Lord, the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is a refiner's fire. Like as they heat up that metal, like if they burn gold, that dross, when they heat it up, put so much fire, it burns away all the impurities in the gold or the precious metals. And they're scraped off and they're chucked away. That's the refiner's fire. That's the picture. Listen, anybody who's shaking their fist and rebelling against God, let me tell you. And if you're visiting here today, you're thinking, oh my goodness, why? I just want a happy church where they tell us just what we want us to hear. Listen, I love to tell people encouraging things. I really do. And I know that fills seats, but I would rather fill your soul. Listen, you don't want that. We love you anyway. You don't have to receive it. But you're going to at least hear it. Because you're loved. And God loves you. And he doesn't want you to be a part of that. But if you're going to rebel, you're going to go, la, 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 can't hear you. God don't want to hear. Or you're going to shake your little fist. No. Well, here's what he says to you in Malachi 4:1. Surely the day is coming, and it will burn like a furnace. And all the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. On the day that is coming. Is coming, will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left of them. Maybe God is stirring you, if you're a believer here, to take things a little bit more seriously. That's what's going to happen. We need you. It continues on, and I have to finish this. Verse 31 says, the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. I've already spoke a lot about that, but Jesus has echoed the same type of thing in Matthew 24:29. He's talking about immediately after the tribulation or whatever. He says, at the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give light. And the stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. And then you're going to see the Lord come again in the clouds of glory. And by then it's just too late. It's too late. It's going to be a great day for those who are saved because we're going to be with him, raptured up with him. And it's going to be a terrible day for all the people who are going to have to endure this. But it says in verse 32, the last verse, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be what? Saved. How many people? Does it say someone or a couple people that do it? If you call on the name of the Lord, if you like, do it, Lord, do whatever it takes in my life. I want to follow you. Whatever. He'll do that. You have to want it. I can't do it for you. Listen, it's the same words in that verse 32 that was spoken in Romans. And so it says this, and I picture Peter drowning, because that's where I see most people are. They don't even know they're drowning. And I picture Jesus. You remember when he was walking on the water, right? He's walking on the water, and then he sinks. He takes his eyes off Jesus, and he's sinking, and then this is the picture. This is the scripture picture that I see. Maybe, yeah. Listen, you've got folks underwater. You don't even know. You need to get to know the people in here better. You do. They have gifts and abilities, different ones from you, so you can learn and grow. That's why he has you here, not just to hear me teach. Although that's a bonus, I like to think. No, it's only because of the Lord, only because of the Lord. But the Bible says in Romans 10, 11 to 13, Scripture says anyone who believes, male, female, black, white, yellow, pink, purple, you know, Jewish, Gentile, Italian, whatever, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. You must call. For everyone, just like it said in verse 32 of Joel, who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. So here's the deal. If you have not, maybe God's calling you back right now. Maybe you hear him on the phone and he's speaking to your heart and he's like, dude, get serious. Come on. Time's short. You got to see it. And if not, I pray he opens your eyes. He loves you. He's like, take it seriously. And he's calling you. Respond to that call. Nothing will change if you don't do something different. Change it. Change it up. Come back. And listen, if you're not saved, you have to know that God created you to be with him. In the garden, he used to walk with him. He's a relational God. His Holy Spirit's relational. Everything about him is a relationship. Okay? Our sin separates us from God. I don't know if you can kind of picture this, but in your mind's eye, you can picture a big chasm. And here's man, and here's God over here, and there's a giant chasm. And no good works is going to get you to the other side. They can't. That sin that separates us from a holy God, he loves us, but he's also holy. They say, don't turn your back on the camera, but I'm doing this for visual sake. But our sins can't be removed by the good works. Nothing's going to be able to cross that great divide except for the cross. Paying the price for our sin, Jesus died and rose again. Picture that cross being the bridge. It's Jesus' life and Jesus' death by the Spirit of God imparted to us as we call on him, as we believe in his name, as we receive his Spirit, as we tell him we want to live for him, to do whatever it takes in our heart and life to help us to follow him. And then everyone who trusts in him will have eternal life. And life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. So let's just take a minute and let's pray together. And I'm going to pray for two sets of people. Lord, if there are any of your people here that you're speaking to, I pray that when they walk out this door, I know the enemy's going to want to take that seed that you've threw down for them, Lord, and immediately snatch it up, Lord, like the birds of the air. But I pray in Jesus' name, Lord God, or maybe put it on that shallow ground, I pray that you would plant those seeds deep within their hearts, deep in Jesus' name. You have called them, Lord, to a life of godliness, Lord, to a life of serving you and serving others. Lord, plant that deep in their hearts. Let it grow and bear fruit 30, 60, or 100 times fold, Lord. I pray that, Lord, that you would change something. Change it up so they would be getting more of your word, more of your heart, more of your spirit, renewing, seeking, Lord. Don't let them leave here doing the same thing again and again, Lord. Change it up. In Jesus' name, let them hear that in their heart. Change it up. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here who doesn't know you, today would be the day of salvation, that you would speak to their hearts, Lord, and they would just say, to the best of my knowledge, Lord, I don't understand all this end time stuff, dreams, visions, all, but I know that I want to be saved. I know that I want to live for you in these dark times, and I know I want to be different. Lord, I know you died and rose again, Lord, and I want to live for you. And if it's that, if that's you, just call out to him. Say, Jesus, save me. In your own heart and mind, say it to him. Save me, Jesus. Save me, Jesus. Whatever it takes, Lord, save my soul. And it says that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now listen, if that's you today and you've accepted Jesus Christ, will you please come talk to me or Pastor Gary about it, or Miss Lisa? We love you. Have a great week. In Jesus' name. Amen.